The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
It is our most listened to show here on Tony Curry Radio, and why not? Go Blazers. He's Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. Super easy now to, maintain and keep our app. It is Tony Curry Radio, but all you got to pull up is TKR, those three letters, TKR. You'll see the flaming guitar on Apple and Android now. It's very uniform, and of course, you can be part of our listening base here. It's got great classic rock and roll. We have 16 different shows we're doing now, and this is one of my favorites here because I get to work with Mark every single week, and he joins us right now on Tony Curry Radio, wherever you get your podcast. Mark, what's going on, brother? How are you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Lots to get into today. We're going to get into our rock and roll. It's your pick this week. And what did you pick?
We're doing cover songs as good or better than the original.
Woo! That is, that's very subjective now because there are some songs that I think are better, but a lot of people would say they're not. And then, of course, I've actually got some honorable mentions I want to get into on that as well. I'm sure you have a whole lot. So we'll get into that on the back side of the show. So we're recording the show here on July 20th. It's a Thursday. And this just broke a few minutes ago, so I want to get into it. A bipartisan trio of U.S. senators shared a draft early this morning on legislation that aims to create a uniform national law for how college athletes can make money and push many schools to provide more health care benefits for athletes. That's kind of a little bit of a new twist to this whole thing, is it not? Because I know we were talking about the NIL, the transfer portal, and all of a sudden we're talking about health care. Does that surprise you a little bit?
No. There's been some chatter about it for a while. And we listen. If you get hurt, I think most schools are doing this. We are at UAB. If you were to get injured while you're at UAB, let's say you hurt your knee, and you're a sophomore, and you go through the rehab process, which we do at no cost to the student athlete, and we provide all the all the post-operation stuff. So we're already doing that, okay, at our expense. Mm-hmm. And if, let's say, you've got to have another knee surgery the year after you finish playing with us.
Yeah.
If it is clear that it's, a result of this kind of continuation nagging problem, we take care of that already. We're already doing that. I think that some of these folks just that are introducing these bills, they just don't know that.
Yeah.
Or they haven't asked the questions. A lot of times the athletes themselves don't know that. If you were otherwise healthy, it's probably not something that you realize. And honestly, we really don't deal with it that often. So it's.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you know what the percentage of student athletes, say football players, actually get injured to the point where they need surgery? Is there a number on that?
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, there's plenty of surgeries that athletes have during the year. I mean, we probably have, I hate to give you a number, but I'm going to give you a number. I bet we have 30 surgeries a year amongst 450 athletes.
Okay.
And that sounds like a little high, really, but it's not uncommon to have, and it's all sorts of things. It could be a hand. It's not just
ACLs and stuff like that.
Football players and ACLs. Yeah, it's shoulders and elbows for baseball players. It's knees for all sorts of people.
So if I'm playing at UAB and I'm loving that, and say I do have a torn ACL or I have something wrong with my body based on an injury I had involved in a football game, whose doctor do I use? And I've always wondered that because I'll go back to the Tyrone Prothro situation years ago where I think he's had like 20-something different surgeries on that foot, on that ankle.
Yeah.
And many of those surgeries were performed by and not to put them under the gun, but university picked medical advisors. And I don't know if he had a NIFR guy he wanted to go through. In other words, if I get banged up at UAB, am I using one of your doctors or could I go to James Andrews? How does that work?
You can go to anybody you want.
Okay.
But if you're intending to use our insurance, we don't pay that out of pocket. We've got a secondary insurance that we use to assist with this as well. Then it has to be a place that'll accept that.
Yeah.
And sometimes in saying that, you know, critics want to act like we're sending you to some mud hut in a third world village. That's not what it is. You know, it's just, but you can't just go to see any specialists in Sweden and all of a sudden that's going to be okay. And, you know, the Tyrone Prothro situation, which I'm only familiar with the injury itself, which was just horrible. I would assume, I hate hearing that. I didn't know that he had to do that, but as awful as that was that day that we all saw it, I guess I'm probably not surprised. But I'm sure that the university is the same thing. It's like, hey, man, we want to help you, but, you know, we need to go to a place that, you know, accepts our insurance. And so he's a great example. If the university is continuing to help him with that, he's a great example of how a lot of what lawmakers are asking us to do, we're already doing, and they're suggesting that we don't, which is just not accurate. What you can't have is, okay, you hurt your left knee your sophomore year, and now 2 years out of college, you're playing pickup basketball down at the church, and you hurt your other knee or even the same knee.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, okay, now wait a minute. Did you hurt that as a result? Because you finished with us, fine. You played your junior and your senior year, and you were okay. But now you're 2 years out, and you're playing church league basketball or softball or something, and you turn your ankle, and you want us to pay for it. You know, we do have to get into that. We occasionally have that. We occasionally have someone say, hey, I hurt my left knee in college, and I had the surgery, but now my right knee hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this athlete played their sport before they came to us.
Yeah.
So we can't just automatically, and I would say this back to these lawmakers, we can't just assume that all these injuries and nagging pains are only a result of when they played in college. They played 10 years before they got to college.
Yeah, and I'm betting there's going to be a little more scrutiny there on your physicals as some of these players come in to play athletic sports there for UAB and for every other institution as well. He's Mark Ingram. He's the UAB Athletic Director. This is called the UAB Director's Chair. You can find us on every major industry when it comes to podcasts, and of course, listen to it here on TKR every single week at least five times. So I'm going to go through, there's five of these things. I'm going to go through them, and feel free to expound on these things. Some of them aren't surprising. I guess a couple of them are a little interesting. The healthcare, establish a medical trust fund for sports-related injuries. Athletic departments to generate at least $20 million annually would be required to cover out-of-pocket medical expenses for athletes for 2 years after they finish playing. Then athletic departments that generate at least $50 million annually would have to do the same for 4 years and provide athletes-related health care coverage while athletes were playing. I don't know what this $20 and $50 million thing means.
Well, it's hilarious.
How many?
It's absurd. Okay, so what does the money I generate have to do with health?
Well, sure, yeah.
Nothing. It has those two things have nothing to do. So it's a clear recognition that this is an incredibly large expense. And they're basically saying that if you find yourself at a university that doesn't generate more than $20 million, I guess your health is less important than somebody who finds themselves at a university that generates more than $50 million.
Exactly.
I mean, what are they saying? It's just so silly.
It makes no sense at all. It's got to be
uniform. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, man, if you want us to do something because you really care about the kids, then what difference does it make how much money we generate?
Yeah.
But it points to the fact that they understand that we probably can't do this.
Yeah.
This is going to be really hard to do this in the manner to which they described.
Draft eligibility. All college athletes can enter drafts or professional leagues without losing their NCAA eligibility if they decide to return to school within 7 days of the draft ending. You got a problem with that?
Well, I think my question, before I say problem, my question is more about, you know, a lot of times we get into these sort of things around these professional leagues. Like one of the popular discussions is, you know, the one and done rule in basketball. Can you go straight from high school to the NFL? People say you ought to be able to go straight from high school to the NFL. Well, talk to the NFL.
Yeah.
It's the NFL's rule. It's not the NCAA's rule.
Yeah.
So, you know, now these lawmakers, without probably much thought or foresight into any of this, haven't talked to Roger Goodell, and haven't talked to anybody with Major League Baseball or the NBA, and any, you know, have they talked to anybody and say, hey, how would y'all be with that? You know, they're only running a multi-billion-dollar business themselves. So you're the owner of the LA Lakers, and you just drafted somebody in the first round. And then 7 days later, that person decides, you know what? I've decided I'm going to stay at UAB and play one more year at UAB. Mm-hmm. Well, now they burned their draft pick.
Yep.
That they can't get back, and they can't go where they spent. Well, pick the next best player. Yeah, that's not how it works.
Yeah,
the next best player didn't get drafted. So you want me to replace the number three pick overall in the draft with a guy that didn't get drafted at all and just call that good? Because, oh, it's just silly sports. Yeah, it's just silly sports. It is just silly sports compared to the national, you know, the Department of Defense and their work. I would agree that it's silly sports. But it's a big business that a lot of people are, not just the players, you know, a lot of people earn a lot of their income from. You've got the ticket takers, the ushers, the concessions people. They all need, you know, to be paid too.
Yeah, I feel your pain and I'm laughing with you, and I guess they feel like something's got to be done and it's got to start somewhere. So I'm hoping this is not the final draft, but they have voted to approve on some of these things. Scholarship guarantees. Colleges would have to guarantee that athletes would keep their scholarships until they finish their undergraduate degrees as long as they remain in good academic standing and do not transfer. It's my understanding right now that scholarships work on an annual basis, right? You don't get a four-year scholarship. It goes every year, correct?
Yeah, we do a one-year scholarship. Now it's a renewable contract every year. Generally, any student athlete that is in good standing and is doing what we ask them to do in terms of they're going to class, they're working hard in the weight room and they're working hard at practice. They're basically doing what you would assume to be an obvious thing that they do. These things are renewed, but you know, we miss. Mm-hmm. Right, we miss on players. So not every, you know, go look at everybody's recruiting board, and they see these 4 or 5 star athletes, and look and see, track how many don't ever play.
Yeah,
and it's not necessarily because the player isn't good; they just found themselves behind another player that's better, and so that's not their fault. It's not our fault, but not everybody gets. My point is, not everybody gets to play. And we're fulfilling those obligations now. I think the concern that I have in that comment is when you guarantee something like that, how hard are they working?
Yeah.
You know, because unfortunately, there are plenty of cases where an athlete looks great when you sign them. And I'm not going to name names, but I had a couple of teammates in college who showed up and they weighed like 60 pounds more in August than they did in January when they committed and signed. And you think, how on earth could they do it?
Yeah.
Pizza and beer is how they do it. And they just all of a sudden, it's like their goal was to get, you know, to get that offer. And they got that offer and they thought that was kind of the, now I can, or, you know, I'll work it off. I'll go there and they'll have their strength coaches and all that. And then what?
Yeah, when your coach tells you.
We signed you, man, to come play. You can't play like that, you know? Yeah. And you think that's impossible. It is not impossible.
When your coach tells you to put some extra weight on, he ain't talking about doing it that way.
That's not what he's talking about.
So,
And so anyway, you know, you just don't want a situation where you're basically finding it, you know, where a kid can show up and be like, yeah, I'm not playing anymore. I mean, I'm going to come to your silly practices, but I'm not really, you know. And now you're obligated to that.
Yeah. Washington, D.C. is involved in the NIL and transfer portal, and they're obviously trying to put together some type of bill, and it's been bipartisan so far. This is July 20th, and we're recording this show, and this is just broken just a few minutes ago. Education schools could not attempt to discourage athletes from choosing particular academic majors. Is that a problem?
Here's the problem, and I think sometimes we get into this with student-athletes. Student-athlete shows up, and says, hey, look, I want to get a degree in engineering. Oh man, that's awesome. That's great. And then you look at their transcripts and they've got a, you know, a 2.2 GPA in high school. They struggled in math and science. And it's like, hey man, I mean, I appreciate that you want to get an engineering degree, but you've not demonstrated that these areas are your strong suit. And so we want you to be successful. And if we can put you in engineering and you don't pass, now you're not eligible to play, and now you're not only not being successful in that major, you're no longer going to be successful at your sport either. So we do have to help them understand what's realistic. And so we don't push kids, and I don't think anybody really, though it could be misconstrued that way, I don't think any of us are pushing anybody into being some academic major, but you got to point out, you know, I respect the fact that you'd like to do something that's more challenging, and you'd like to do something that is going to yield, you know, when you graduate this fantastic degree. But we also have to talk about what you're capable of, because listen, you might have been great at foreign language. I was not.
Yeah.
And so if I had shown up to college and said I wanted to major in Latin, you know, they'd have been like, okay. And I took 5 years of Latin, Tony, in high school and through from eighth grade through high school.
Hey, my son did too, and he can't say a word.
I was terrible. I got through it. I did okay. But if I had said that that's what I wanted my degree to be in, that would have been ridiculous.
Yeah. Muy bueno, Senor Ingram. You're doing very good here. The final thing, which I think is funny, because whenever I see the word transparency, I know there's going to be no transparency. Transparency. Schools will be required to report annually on their athletics revenue and expenses. Like, you get time for that. How much money their coaches
make. No, we do it now.
Yeah, well, I know.
We do it now.
How much money their coaches make, how much time athletes spend on their sports, academic outcomes, and the average value and total number of endorsement contract athletes sign. I don't know if that's available. The bill would also make sure that specific contract details for endorsement deals were not made public or subject to public record request, which I think is very, very interesting. Okay, your thoughts on that, or is there any thoughts?
Well, just again, just like a lot of this, the people writing this, it'd be nice if they did any amount of homework. Pick up the phone and call anybody that works in college athletics. I mean, you could call an entry-level employee in college athletics, and they would have corrected you. So I just so wish that they would go back to trying to run the country. Let's fix our debt. Let's fix our labor problems. Let's get our economy stronger. Let's worry about national defense. Let's do things that are really meaningful while we elected these people to do something. And instead of this, I mean, this is just a willy nilly. This is like when my kids were about 8 years old, they'd have come up with this. We already provide that information to the NCAA on an annual basis.
Yeah.
The only difference is because of the newness around NIL, this discussion about these endorsement deals, which, by the way, as the NCAA has said, we can't be involved in that.
Yeah.
So while I have software that tracks all those deals, there's no real requirement at this point. There's no requirement that the student athlete run their deal through my software. If they do, so when you see that the companies like Open Doors or Influencer, who the Brandar Group, you see these companies that help with NIL, they're getting rich off NIL. That's who's getting rich off NIL, yep, because we're having to pay for all this software.
Sure.
But there's no requirement for the kids to use the software. Now, when you see them say, well, this many millions of dollars, we track this many millions through our clients, meaning the student athletes, in last year in endorsement deals. Hey, great. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's all encompassing.
They
track that much of what was reported by the student athlete.
Yeah, they're making
it. Student athlete's not required to report it.
They're making it almost that you don't want to be in business anymore. I mean, I hate to say that, I can only speak from our radio station standpoint. But I got to pay licensing on the music I play, and it's so stringent, so expensive that now I realize that I am on the outside looking in, because I am one of the rare people that can actually pull that off, and a lot of people can't. If you have an internet radio station, good luck, because if you have to pay for every song you're playing, the more listeners you got, the more expensive it gets. It gets to the point where it prices you out, and I don't know if it's an FCC thing or it's terrestrial radio trying to put us out of business or not, but it drives me crazy, but I'm going to fight it. But let me ask you this, and then we'll move on to our rock and roll. So, first of all, none of these things seem like they protect the university at all. There's nothing that protects the it's all about the NIL, and quite frankly, I thought that when Greg Sankey and those guys went up there and were talking to these guys, that they were going to be doing things to protect the university so it doesn't get out of control through these players, but it seems like it's all player-driven. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, and that's the problem. The narrative from the beginning has been that we're just evil.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
it's
just
ridiculous.
Evil, and we're taking advantage of these kids. It's the same as it was wonderful to see this. a couple of the student athletes from the SEC media days talked about the EA Sports NCAA college football game. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how they grew up loving that game. And it was kind of a dream of theirs to one day move the cursor on the video game over their position and see their name pop up. Mm-hmm. What a thrill that would be. Tony, in the very first game, my wife's little brother, he did that and found me on the video game.
Oh, wow.
And he thought that was just so cool. And I thought that was so cool. It never one time crossed my mind that they should pay me for that.
Yeah.
And how stupid is that?
And I think they,
it's just this lost understanding of how, do you think anybody bought the video game because they could highlight Mark Ingram's name when it's time to punt?
No, you're the only one. I mean, you're the only one. I think EA Sports actually capped that out at $500 per player too. So it's not like if you're a Bryce Young or you're a great football player and you're in that game, you're not getting paid
$500 would be 10 times what most everybody in that game should get.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Nobody's buying the game because they can highlight the left guard.
You can't put a price on fame.
And just the thrill. And this is the quarterback. I think I want to be careful because I'm not certain, but I believe that it was LSU's quarterback that said that.
Yeah.
So the quarterback who is the most marketable on the team mm-hmm. is saying that.
Yeah. There you go. It seems like they got their priorities straight. All right, great stuff.
But, I mean, all of a sudden, it's we're terrible, we're evil. So this whole narrative is that all these proposed changes are because we're just taking advantage of these.
At least according to this breaking news, it doesn't seem like anyone from any university was up there representing the schools. I mean, it sounds like there were 500 college athletes up there talking to these knuckleheads. Yeah. And again, hopefully it has not been voted on yet, but the bill has been written up and maybe there could be some things that are changed a little bit before they actually go to a vote. All right, let's vote on some fun stuff. Let's bring your blood pressure down just a little bit here, and let's talk some classic rocks and rock and roll. You have come up with cover songs that are as good, if not better, than the originals. And one of our favorite spots is your honorable mentions, because there are millions of them. Just give me some of your favorites.
Well, Van Halen, my favorite band, has got a dozen. And, you know, I'm putting all of these, you know, in some of these categories, we've had to say, hey, look, I'm just going to omit these because they're all so great. But songs like Pretty Woman that Van Halen covered, Dancing in the Streets. When I started to go back and look, I didn't realize how many they did, but they must have done 10 or 12 covers. And then David Lee Roth did California Girls. That was really great. They're in my honorable mention category. And then I'm going to throw in, and this isn't a rock guy, but Jack Johnson, if you like Jack Johnson, and I do, he did a couple of covers that I think are really great. So he did Rupert Holmes, the song Escape, mm-hmm. The Pina Colada song, which is really awesome. And he also did a cover of John Lennon's Imagine, which is beautiful. And not to say that, you know, it would be blasphemy to say that it's better or even as good as John Lennon's version, but it's really dang good. So those are going to be my honorable mentions.
I'm going to mention some of the big ones because I hope they're not in your list, but obviously Blinded by the Light, which is obviously a song that was huge for Man for Man's Earth Band, a song that was originally written by Bruce Springsteen and didn't do squat for Bruce, but went to number one for Man for Man, All Along the Watchtower, which has got to be the biggest remade song of all time because people didn't even realize that Bob Dylan had anything to do with it because Jimmy's version was so good. I'll Always Love You, the Dolly Parton hit, which of course was done quite right by this gal named Whitney Houston, who just took it to another level. But that thing's been redone, I think, like 78 different times. And then Always On My Mind, you know, the Willie Nelson song that was originally written for Elvis Presley. And that song's also been done by 30 or 40 different people, too. So, you know, when you have songs being redone 30 and 50 times and being released as singles, should tell you something. You can redo any song you want, but when you're releasing it as a single, it's pretty amazing. But interesting story about Van Halen is Ted Templeton, who is their early producer on most of their albums. He told Eddie, you're going to do a cover song on every album you do with me, because if you do a great cover song, you're already halfway home to having a hit. If it was a hit first and you're doing a cover of it, then we're going to see how much better we can make it. And that's why they did everything from Happy Trails to Pretty Woman to, I mean, they just did a ton of stuff. Where Have All the Good Times Gone? It was a great song from the Kinks. They did a ton of covers. You mentioned there were a dozen of them. I thought there were more than that. And so listen, but you know, it's funny because,
and I think Eddie hated it, by the way.
I know he did. And despite the fact that they were huge hits, and then David Lee Roth, what's he do? You know, he goes off and does California Girls, and he's doing his own covers when he left the band. You know, the amazing thing is, and I did a lot of research on this. I've been working on this stuff all morning long, and I really wanted to come up with four dingers for you.
I want to give you one more honorable mention.
No, go ahead.
That I meant to say. So there's a band called Alien Ant Farm who did a cover of Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal. It's kind of a heavy metal version of it.
Yeah.
And you know, Michael Jackson, it was a big hit for him, and it's probably the biggest hit, probably the most successful song for this band, Alien Ant Farm. It's really, really good. It's aggressive. But it's their rock and roll version of that song, really, really good.
What makes you realize, and there's been a lot of news about Taylor Swift recently. She's on tour. Currently, she has four of the top 10 albums, including the number one spot. And she's also got 11 albums on the Billboard Top 100 albums, which sets a record. She's setting records that she's breaking from the Beatles. And I think it's a lot different now because you can stream, obviously, music. When you and I were buying records, we had to go buy records. We had to go out and actually buy records for $7.99 and bring them home and play them. Now you just get on your phone, tap it, and it counts as a listen. And I don't think that's really fair to compare the two numbers. But Taylor writes all of her own stuff. And what I realized by going through this list of all these cover songs, and there's millions of them, literally millions of covers of songs, you realize how many people who wrote songs that you love weren't their songs. And I never knew. And when I'm going through some of these songs, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the original. And I'm realizing that there aren't that many original songs. There are not that many original songs. Now, there are songs that were written and then given to other artists to perform. There are songs that were written and then the artist came in and said, I love that song. Can I please play your song? And then do it that way. And then there's just some people that rip the things off. But it was amazing to me how many songs aren't original. They're not original songs. And I will give you four today that thought for sure.
Doesn't that speak to Taylor Swift's talent?
No, right. It doesn't. It's flipping amazing. It's amazing because you look at someone like Barry Manilow who sang a song, I Write the Songs. He didn't write that song. I mean, that's the biggest thing. He did not write the song, I Write the Songs, but he sang it and made a number one song. So, I mean, I'm really interested to see what your top four is. Give me your first one and we'll go through these.
Okay. So again, in no particular order, Traveling Riverside Blues by Led Zeppelin was originally, that's credited to Robert Johnson and Robert Johnson is sort of, unofficially credited to him, but golly, go back and listen to Robert Johnson's music. Man, I could just do that for hours. I mean, it's just incredible. I think about guys like him and how they probably, I'm assuming, you know, he probably taught himself how to play, you know, and then revolutionized, you know, the slide guitar and how that blues sound came about. But yeah, so Led Zeppelin, Traveling Riverside Blues.
That is an excellent choice. And I was going to do this one last, but I'm going to do it first. I'm going to go another Led Zeppelin song. It was their first single ever released in the United States from Led Zeppelin number 2. It's the first song off the album. It's called Whole Lot of Love, man. It was written and recorded by Muddy Waters, but also the lyrics done by Willie Dixon. They actually took some of his lyrics and moved them around. And that song for me is the quintessential Led Zeppelin song. When you heard, if you said, what's one song that is Led Zeppelin, I would say A Whole Lot of Love, because it's got everything in it. It's got Robert Plant wailing. It's got Jimmy Page doing guitar solos. It's got John Bonham playing the bejeevers out of the drums. I mean, it was just an amazing song. But a lot of people didn't realize that A Whole Lot of Love is actually a song written by Muddy Waters back in 1967, I think it was. So that's another one. So a pair of Led Zeppelin songs. What's your second one?
So one of my favorite, you know, I always talk about Van Halen. One of my other favorite 80s hair bands is Quiet Riot. And they, They did Come On, Feel the Noise,
mm-hmm.
and Mama, We're All Crazy Now. Both huge hits for them. Both fantastic. Both originally done by the band Slade.
Yes.
Which I didn't even know for forever. But those are two monster hits for Quiet Riot. Really put them on the map. And if you listen to the Slade version, you can really hear the influence
mm-hmm.
from the Slade singer to Kevin DeBrow, the singer for Quiet Riot, God rest his soul. And you can hear his style come out of that Slade, those Slade versions. But those are two of my favorite songs, really, of all time, and both were covers.
Mama, We're All Crazy Now is a song you don't ever hear on the radio, and it's a great song by both.
It's a great song by both.
I loved when they came. And that was like the third or fourth release from Quiet Riot.
When they
came out with the Mama, We're All Crazy. It may have been their last hit that they actually came out with, but it's a great, great song. All right, my second one. There's a guy named Robert Hazard. Do you know who he is?
I do not.
He's an American musician, and I believe he was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he was a good songwriter, and he would take these songs and turn them into best-selling hits, but he would never have any success writing them and performing them himself. He had a band called Robert Hazard and the Heroes. He wrote mm-hmm. a couple of New Wave and MTV songs called Escalator of Life and a song called, I think it was called Chain Reaction or Change Reaction. And he was huge in the Philadelphia club scene. And he released on his own record label, RHA Records, which was just unheard of back in 1982. But in 1979, he wrote a song called, you ready for this?
Bring it.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, which was covered by Cyndi Lauper in 1983. Wow. That's one of the songs where I never knew it was a cover. I had no clue, and I have not heard his version of that song yet, but I just heard her version last night, and I was just flipping around, and I just thought, I wonder who wrote that song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It was written by Mr. Robert Hazard from Philadelphia about 3 years before she actually took it. And, of course, that was her biggest hit. It went to number one. It was her first hit. I remember hearing that song thinking to myself, this is going to be her only hit. There's no way that Cyndi Lauper will ever have another hit when she comes out with a song like that. And, obviously, she's a superstar. She'll probably be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame of all time. Yeah, big time. She's still touring, too.
I can't believe she's not already. She ought to be. That's a shame. I think Cyndi Lauper's she's fantastic, awesome. Totally underrated.
And she does those great skin pharmaceutical commercials too, which are really good.
So, yeah, whatever it takes, man.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's a great singer. Wow, right. That's a good one, man.
Give me your next one.
Okay, I'm going from one of my all time favorite hair bands to one of my all time least favorite hair bands, and so I hate having to do this. So anybody that wants to fuss at me for hating on the band White Lion, but the band White Lion did the song Radar Love that was originally done by Golden Earring.
Yeah.
And their version of Radar Love is awesome. Their guitarist, Vito Vrata, is just killer in that song. And I just wasn't a big fan of theirs. I don't know. They're just overly, like, over the top cheesy even in the 80s, which is a bold statement in and of itself. But that's a great song, and they did a fabulous job on that song.
Also did a little song called Twilight Zone. Remember that song from Golden Earring? That was another one of their big hits. It was a fantastic song that a lot of people play, and a lot of people don't even know the name of that song. That's a very, very good one. So I was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doing a show. I think I've mentioned this several times, that I used to do shows up there on February 14th. I did it for about 4 or 5 years. We used to take a couple here from Birmingham. We'd marry them on the air live in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on February 14th. And the last year I was up there, I'm sitting there, and I got one of those internet ceremony things where I could actually perform the ceremony, right? Legally. Mm-hmm. Now it wasn't religious, and a lot of people questioned. I think that's why they wanted to get married. I actually married 99 couples one night down at Jitterbugs all at one time on February 14th because I was ordained as an internet minister. And of course, a lot of those marriages didn't work out, and a lot of people said it didn't count anyway because Tony Curry actually married us. So I'm sitting there, and just as I'm talking, I see this sleek, well-dressed black man walk outside the studio, and I'm sitting there with my producer, and he said, do you know who that is? And I said, no. And he goes, that's Al Green. And I said, no. And I said, that's not Al Green. He's like, that's Al Green. That's Al Green. I said, Al Green's a minister. I said, Al Green could come in here and do this wedding. I said, I wouldn't even have to do it. Al Green could do it. So we go out there. We tag Al Green. We tell him to come on into the studio to actually perform the ceremony. And he does. And he's fantastic. He's great.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he has his guitar out. And I'm like, would you mind playing a song for me? He played a song that has been redone by Foghat. It was actually written back in 1974. Courtney Love actually did a version of this song, but the one version that I knew of that I had played on the radio for years that I wasn't even aware was written by Al Green was by the Talking Heads called "Take Me to the River." That song,
How about that song
originally done by Al Green in 1974, Take Me to the River was actually, and if you listen to his, you can just imagine Al Green singing a song called Take Me to the River, right? I mean, it's perfect. And it's talked about, it's talked about baptism. It's talking about baptism.
Right.
And about that time, Al Green had become a minister and he wrote a song called Take Me to the River.
Yeah, Reverend Al Green.
Yep. And the Reverend Al Green and the Talking Heads actually did a reversion of that in 1978, which turned out to be a moderate album-oriented rock song. And as a matter of fact, I was taking my morning walk this morning at 5:30 and heard that song on my radio station. And it was amazing because I had picked that song before I actually heard it.
Wow,
and I thought, okay,
good.
What are the chances? The planets are lining up. So that's it. All right. So what's your
My last one is, and it fits into what you were just doing. Like, think of the juxtaposition between Al Green and the Talking Heads, mm-hmm. and how different mm-hmm. you know they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to get here with my last one, which for fear of some version of blasphemy, the Beatles, "Live and Let Die," which was covered by Guns N' Roses. "Live and Let Die," I think Guns N' Roses version is tremendous.
Yep.
And I think when you see, even in the music video, it really comes to life. They're using an orchestra, which I think is gorgeous. It's so beautiful to listen to. It's so many layers of instrumentation. I just think it's awesome. And so dare I say that it's as good or better, but let me say that it's really dang good. And I thought that they did a fantastic job really respecting the Beatles in that. And I thought just did them, just really properly honored them in some way by remaking that song and just doing a fantastic job. That's not what you, again, going back to that time period, as volatile as that band was, particularly their lead singer, Axl Rose, to be able to come through and do what they did in that song, I thought was amazing. So that's my last one, "Live and Let Die."
And do you know who's opening up for Guns N' Roses right now on their current tour?
Is it somebody like Chris Stapleton or who is it?
It's Carrie Underwood.
How about that?
Carrie Underwood.
Well, okay. Yeah. The reason I said Stapleton is I saw Guns N' Roses and Chris Stapleton opened for them.
Now I can actually figure that out. I can actually see that. But Carrie Underwood opening up, because I'm just thinking from the audience standpoint, because if you're into Guns N' Roses, are you into Carrie Underwood? I guess you are.
Yes.
But I'm assuming that
you
perhaps,
just want to see two great artists, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to open up a plethora, just a generality of rock stars. Yeah. So and also the Pretenders open up for Guns N' Roses, which I think is very amazing. All right, my last song was a song that I didn't realize was a remake until about 2 years ago, and shame on me because it's been out for like nearly 50 years. It's one of my favorite songs for a couple reasons. First of all, it's just a great song, and second of all, it's over 7 minutes long, so if I ever had to go to the bathroom or go smoke something out in the lobby, I could put this song on. I knew I had plenty of time to do it. It was a song written by Rudy Toombs and produced and sung originally back in 1953 by a guy named Amos Milburn. I want to tell you a story about the House Rent Blues. It's one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer from George Bad to the Bone Thorogood. And of course, Amos Milburn back in 1953, he had an album that was all about drinking. He had a song called Bad, Bad Whiskey. He had a song called Thinking and Drinking. He had another song that was called Let Me Go Home Whiskey, where he's just begging his bottle of whiskey, please let me just put you down so I can go home. It sounded like maybe an alcoholic in the making. But he was the original that wrote one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. And of course, if you listen to his version and you listen to George Thorogood's version, they're totally different. It's the same song, same lyrics, and the same beat. But his version was about 3.5 minutes long, and George's was over 7 minutes long. And that is like one of the greatest songs that if you know all the words to it, man, you don't want to stop listening to that song. Now, let me tell you a story about the House Rent Blues. Scratch My Back, Baby. That is one of my favorite remakes. And that was the first song
That's
I thought
a great
of.
One.
Yeah, it was one of the first songs I thought of when you brought this up. Hey, great stuff, Marco. We'll catch up next week. We'll get after it. And we're going to do some emails next week. So make sure you send them to us. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. info@TonyCurryRadio.net, a show you can hear at least 5 days a week right here on TKR. And of course, wherever you get your podcast. This is UAB's Director's Chair with Mark Ingram and Tony Curry here on Tony Curry Radio.
Go Blazers.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.